Crossing the Abyss, Part 2, The Encounter with Coronzon.
On the 25th of November 2006, I scried the 30th Aether within the Enochian magical system, and within the vision that I received, a lot of the symbolism seemed to imply that I had completed crossing the Abyss. Now, a lot of this symbolism was thelemic, as in that it pertained to Aleister Crowley's cosmology. As an example, it involved visiting the City of Pyramids and being received in the Cup of Babylon, which all relate to Sphere 3 on the Tree of Life, or Bina, which is where you are received as a Master of the Temple once you've crossed the Veil of the Abyss. So 3 days later, on the 28th, I decided to confirm this with my Holy Guardian Angel. Now, I communicate with my Holy Guardian Angel using an African divination system known as the Obi. It consists of 4 cowrie shells which are fed with blood, and then you cast them within a consecrated space, usually delineated using a chain. There are 5 possible answers you can get from throwing the Obi, with some of those answers requiring a second throw. So although not as rich as, say, the Tarot or the Yi King, you can get quite complicated answers to specific questions beyond simply yes and no. So I asked my angel if I had been accepted in the City of Pyramids, and my angel confirmed that indeed I had, but I wasn't yet a Master of the Temple. In order to complete the crossing and obtain the grade of a Master of the Temple, my angel told me that I would need to perform a ritual which I came to call the Darth Operation, and the description in my diary from the time reads, "At the appointed time, retire to temple before sunrise with the curtains open to let sunlight in. Burn Storax. Invoke Holy Guardian Angel, and perform sex magic using a sigil to invoke Coronzon, who is the denizen of the Abyss, into Darth, then travel to Darth in my astral body to confront Coronzon. Then I was to perform the Star Ruby, which is a thelemic version of the Lesser Banishing Ritual of the Pentagram. I would then obtain the grade of a Master of the Temple by declaring my name as a Master of the Temple, and then ending the operation without banishing. I was told that I would receive my name as a Master of the Temple in due course before this operation was to be carried out, and that I would know the correct time to perform this ritual, as a specific date was not given. The thought of confronting Coronzon astrally didn't fill me with too much confidence, considering the fact that I don't consider myself that great at astral work. So I devised a practice routine in which I would visit all the different spheres on the Tree of Life as a means of strengthening my astral body, a bit like a boxer training before a prize fight. It must be pointed out that my knowledge of the Kabbalah at the time and the Tree of Life wasn't that great either, so I first began by learning all the various correspondences necessary to perform the ritual of visiting those spheres in the astral body, such as the appropriate incense that was required, the appropriate colours to visualise, the appropriate names of God pertaining to the sphere that I was to visit. At just over a week into this new practice regime, on the 8th of December, I was sat in my study writing about 3 or 4 in the afternoon, when I suddenly had a vision of myself performing the Lesser Banishing Ritual of the Pentagram, using a wand that I'd purchased when I first began my career in magic, but had never actually found a use for it. So I went upstairs to my temple room, dug out the wand from the back of a cupboard, and performed the Lesser Banishing Ritual of the Pentagram, see what might happen. It was after I'd finished the ritual that I realised if I'd have had the vision without the wand, I would not have gone to the temple room. Feeling a little confused, I assumed that perhaps there was something I needed to do in the temple room. Looking around, I saw that I'd left my diary on my altar, which I never do. So I thought, well, perhaps I'm supposed to write something. Perhaps I'm supposed to, you know, do some automatic writing. So I went to the altar, opened my diary, and began writing away. After about 10 minutes, it was obvious that I was writing absolute gibberish. It was just absolute nonsense. So I ripped out the page, screwed it up, and was a bit miffed that I'd ruined my diary. And then it dawned on me that, well, perhaps it wasn't to write something. It was simply that my angel wants to speak with me. So I took out my Obi and began to chat with my angel. To cut a long story short, he basically intimated that something bad was going to happen to me that evening. To hear my angel say that filled me with absolute dread, and at this point a lot of questions went through my head along the lines of, was I going to receive some bad news regarding a family member? Was there going to be a gas explosion downstairs in my house? That's why he'd called me upstairs. My angel assured me it was none of those things, and the bad news was Coronzon had decided to astrally attack me that evening. Now, I found this very surprising, the idea that Coronzon had preempted the plan of me going to visit him and had decided that he was going to get to me first. As to be expected, I asked my angel, do you know what time the attack would actually take place? To which I got the reply, 6:30 p.m. So at this point, I went and got my old watch and put it on the altar so I could monitor the time. I asked what I was to do to defend myself, and I was told that I should just perform the ritual that had been outlined earlier. But I was quite concerned, as I wasn't as good as I would have liked to have been astrally, as I'd only been practicing about a week, and I still didn't know all of the Greek for performing the Star Ruby ritual. So I asked my angel to confirm again that it would be 6:30. It turned out that my angel said Coronzone would arrive sometime that evening before 10. I then went through a lengthy process of corroborating every detail of the ritual I had to perform. And needless to say, this went on for some time, during which I needed to go for 2 pee breaks. When I returned the second time, I was told I needed to make a fresh batch of abramelin incense, and I kept getting conflicting information regarding what else I was supposed to do. It slowly dawned on me that perhaps I wasn't actually speaking to my angel anymore. So I asked, "Is this my holy guardian angel?" To which it replied, "No," which begged the question, "Is this Coronzone?" To which I got an emphatic yes. I looked at my watch on the altar to see that it was now exactly 6:30. I was dumbfounded for a couple of seconds and sat there shaking like a leaf, and then thought I should just perform the lesser banishing ritual of the pentagram. The operation that had been dictated to me earlier was now completely out of the window. So I performed the banishing ritual and then decided to sit down, close my eyes, just to see what was going on mentally. And lo and behold, I was in Darth on the astral plane. And the vision came through so strong, it was almost as though the astral had come to me rather than the other way around. There was no effort on my behalf. I was stood on a rocky outcrop, and there was a storm raging in the background. And at the end of this rocky outcrop was Coronzone. Now, Coronzone looked like a naked human, but various parts of his body were swelling and fluctuating, almost like a giant gibbering human boil. Amazingly, it popped into my head that I had read somewhere that Coronzone cannot abide concentration or silence. So I put my finger to my lips in the sign of Hippocrates and remained silent for a while, all the while Coronzone just carried on gibbering and swelling and pulsating. I then thought it was best that I should banish Darth, so I performed the lesser banishing ritual of the pentagram in my astral body, and needless to say, the angels appeared without me attempting to visualize them. And as the ritual progressed, the storm subsided, and eventually I was left hanging in darkness all alone. So I opened my eyes, performed another banishing ritual, just for good measure, waved my wand menacingly at the Orby for a while. I was still shaking, I was still rushing with adrenaline, so I thought it was best if I just retired downstairs, you know, had something to eat, watched a bit of television. Now at this point, I need to explain the layout of my house. I live in what used to be an old Victorian townhouse, so there's 2 rooms upstairs, 2 rooms downstairs, which I use as a study and a living room, and then we have the kitchen, which was built on like an extension, and then the bathroom built onto the end of that. So you have to go through the living room to get to the kitchen, and through the kitchen to get to the bathroom. Now when I came downstairs, the light in the living room was on, but the lights were off in the kitchen and in the bathroom. So I walked into the kitchen to get myself a drink and something to eat, and as I flipped the switch, the bulb blew. The strange thing was that the lights in the other rooms downstairs were still on, and normally when a bulb goes, a fuse would be tripped in the fuse box. I went and found the fuse box, which is thankfully in the living room just under the stairs, and I took a look, but none of the switches had tripped. So I went back to the doorway of the kitchen, slightly confused. Now, despite my understanding of the nature of spirits and demons, which I've gained through experience, and despite the fact that I'm pretty confident I can kick any spirit's ass, peering into my bathroom from the living room through a long corridor of blackness, I couldn't shake the feeling that there was something down there. Anyway, after a couple of seconds, I pulled myself together, walked through the kitchen, and pulled the cord to switch on the light in the bathroom. But the light didn't come on. So I ran back into the living room as fast as my little legs could carry me. And then it was only then, standing in the doorway of the kitchen yet again, that I noticed the clock on the microwave, and it said it was just approaching 6 o'clock. So at this point, my head was firmly up my bottom. I was confused and I was still scared. So I thought there was nothing for it but to sit down in the living room, turn the television on, and watch something mundane for a while. After a bit, when I couldn't hold it in anymore, I fished out a torch from under the stairs and ventured into the darkness to use the toilet. To my relief, the only thing I experienced in the darkness was my own paranoia and confusion. Thankfully, 6:30 in real time passed without any incident. and the next day was spent hunting for perhaps an additional fuse box that might explain why the lights didn't work. Eventually I had to get an electrician in, who couldn't find a cause either, other than a spurious melted wire in the ceiling, which meant he would need to tear up the floorboards above the living room, put in a new wire, and then run a cable along the ceiling of the kitchen and into the bathroom. So a couple of days later, I got a second opinion from another electrician, and after casually mentioning my search for a second fuse box, electrician number two glanced in the corner of the kitchen and found a solitary fuse, which myself and electrician number one had both failed to see. So 2 weeks and a new fuse later, and Coronzon's reign of confusion was over. It was the day after my confrontation with Coronzon that I actually gained the ability to see the confusion or futility in all thoughts, or to experience the world above the abyss as described in part one of this podcast. I think this whole episode is a wonderful illustration of the way in which spirits actually operate, that they are not simply beings that pop up within a magical ritual, and in fact their manifestation occurs on all the levels of human experience, from the subjective to the objective through mental, physical and social phenomena. As the embodiment of confusion, we can see that Coronzon are not only manifested in terms of an astral vision, but also within my subjective mental state, in that I could not work out what was going on in terms of what time things were happening, the outline of the ritual, what I was supposed to do. In my emotional experience, in that I was in a state of fear and panic, and also physically through the whole lighting fiasco. Immediately after the ritual, there were a number of questions I found myself asking. For instance, how did Coronzon displace my angel in terms of communicating through the Obi? Did Coronzon really decide he wasn't going to wait for me to go to him, and therefore tried to pull a fast one and surprise me? Looking back on it now, it seems naive to even try to imagine that there were two spiritual beings that I couldn't see that were wrestling over the control of my cowrie shells. The encounter with Coronzon was a necessary part of my development, which is embodied within the HGA. So if we look at what actually happened, my HGA led me through an experience as part of my magical development, and that experience was an encounter with confusion, as embodied by Coronzon. If we look at what occurred in light of this, it's obvious that what happened with performing the Darth operation was confusing. What happened with the Obi, in terms of Coronzon gaining control of it, was confusing. In other words, all of those things were a manifestation of Coronzon. The only correct way then to proceed concerning an explanation for what happened is to utilise the antidote to Coronzon, and that is silence.